You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
All right. Francis Albert bringing us in on the third hour of Wake Up Tucson. And again, it's our... We've only been on the show... We're coming up on our 11th anniversary, but somehow this is our 37th annual Veterans Day show.
It was in our mind before that. And here we are now to live on. Yes.
So thanks to... It's going to turn out to be an all-veteran day because Tim from Desert Rose is coming up next segment, also a veteran. All right. We had Vic Hightower from Gospel Rescue Mission talking about the Thanksgiving. He was... Armored cavalry watching in his binoculars what was going on in East Germany in the 80s. Mm. And of course, Gospel Rescue Mission needs your support for their big Thanksgiving feast, money and or in-kind turkeys, canned vegetables, all that good stuff. So go to grmtucson.com to find out how you can help. And then, of course, we spent a good portion of the second hour with the electric Colonel Moe, Maureen Gagliardi.
Thanks, Colonel.
Love Colonel Moe. We got our commander coins now, Ed, so you got to keep it in your pocket all the time.
Sweet.
Because if she comes to you and you still don't have it in your pocket, you're in trouble.
Okay.
7 years of bad luck. Thank you.
There you go.
great sound effect, Ed Alexander.
Love that.
Tomorrow, big show, Rivera. Deb Ferns. How can I go for that's girl
Yay!
Power. Going from Moe to Deb.
Deb is
in
back.
24 hours. And then Diana from Humane Society.
Yeah.
And then Ed Alexander.
Yes. Look out.
The Knights of Columbus car show. That's what we do on this thing.
Yeah. Right?
If you missed my award-winning interview with Gary Davidson on Friday about these, basically about Pima County budgets, what a joke they've been for years. The idea that for the first time ever, they're going to have a line item for road maintenance.
First time ever.
This is right out of Huckleberry's own memos.
You wonder why the roads are going to fix. There was never a budget item.
And then remember him and his allies during Prop 463 last year all said there's no other money that the county can use to fix a road.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You have to give them more money by voting for this bond. Remember how many times these folks told you this?
Yeah.
Well, that turned out to be bullcrap also.
Well, yeah.
So Chuck puts it in a memo. At least one or two times that said, oh, this is our last hope. We have no more money. Sorry. Right? So, Chuck, either you're inept or you're a lying sack of crap. You can pick one or the other, buddy. I don't know what you are, but for $400,000, I called you years ago, overpaid loser, and you proved it again. So, enjoy that while you're here. We talked about what does this little spot that voted for Prop 205 is called.
The little grease spot, is that what you're saying?
We have
a little spot.
All right, so we're talking between Broadway and Speedway, between Alvernon and Grande.
Mm-hmm.
This is the crew that voted for 205. Everyone else in the city said, you're nuts, we're not voting for it.
Yeah, everybody knew it.
But that was the Sanctuary City proposition, if you guys missed that.
But the folks by the U of A.
So we have our names. I asked on Facebook. I'll still ask for your phone calls at 790. I said, we have Pliskin Acres. What do we call this spot, right? So I have top three. Three, Van Buren, Grijalva Grotto.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Fred Ruiz, Pancho Villa Estates. And then Sergio up on the north side, Kozachik Stand, named after Steve Kozachik, the... that's mostly his, not all of it. That's him and Rahina.
Right.
Well, soon to be Lane Santa Cruz's.
Oh, well, there you go.
I can't think two better people, right?
Yeah.
Lane and Steve.
You're in trouble now.
So Kozachik Stan is number one right now.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you guys can beat that, but you're sure welcome to try, as we like to say. We'll have to get to the U of A story tomorrow. Okay. I think. We'll see. I don't know if we'll have time this is the University of Arizona. This is Rockin' Robbins.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to give kudos to the authors of this story because it's hilarious. Now, first of all, I want to give credit to the U of A for two things. The Arizona Daily Star. Mark the tape, Ed, November 11th. Chris is giving love to the
Star.
The Star.
Okay.
So, first of all, kudos to Carol Ann Alamo and Justin Sayers for even doing this story with the depth that they've done. Okay. And then in two stories in a row, Ed, if you notice the headline, how do they describe the University of Arizona?
UAs.
The Arizona Daily Star has made a conscious decision. They are not going with you, Arizona.
Good for them. I'm with them.
It's really interesting. Okay.
You don't need to. Everybody knows in this town what UA is.
Right. So let's get to this story real quick. We'll go in depth more because there's so much meat on this bone. So remember in the first hour I said this is the U of A's jump the shark moment.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Remember when Fonzie jumped the shark in Happy Days, right? And it was pretty much you knew the story. The gig was up for Happy Days. All right. This is for the research university that keeps jacking up tuition on you. We have two different diversity czars because we were threatened by student unions that we needed to have one. We're paying him $200,000 plus, but we like the second guy too, so we're paying him $190,000 or something. So we're dropping 400 G's at least on two employees that are diversity caretaker directors.
Wow. Nice office you got there.
Some would call them snowflake counselors, if you will.
There
but
you go, basically.
Here we go. So, Carol Ann Alamo and Justin Sayers, not Leo Sayers, Ed, from AM Gold.
Oh.
Sorry, buddy. The University of Arizona paid more than, I feel like Dr. Evil here, $14 million for a consulting firm for planning advice.
Mm-hmm.
Which could be the largest contract of its kind in school history.
Well, that's because we don't have any big brains on the U of A campus, probably. Is that why? I mean, why? There's nobody on this campus who could figure this out?
No.
Okay, we'll spend $14 million then. Okay.
There's so many horrible elements to this story, okay? So the guys that they hired, McKinsey and Company, they're a behemoth that's catered for decades to Fortune 500 companies that have relatively little experience consulting in American universities.
Eh. Is what we say.
They charge the U of A 185 G's a week. This is Joe Snell kind of money. For each three-person term and dispatched at least 16 consultants to campus intermittently over a 10-year period.
Nice weather you got here.
Rockin' Robbins hired them 6 months, who took over in 2017, mid-17, hired McKinsey 6 months later on a no-bid contract. Do we do kind? So I don't get, right? I always love this. As you're growing up, you're a small business owner, and you're in a chamber, right? There's a Hispanic chamber, the Green chamber, the LGB chamber, whatever, right? The Marana chamber. They always say, hey, we're going to have a great workshop on how to learn the procurement process, right? So your company can make, you know, learn how to do it right and get your fair share of government business, right? Well, here in Pima County, we don't follow procurement stuff. Remember, we did no-bid contracts for the balloon people.
Balloon company, yep.
Right? The Sabino Canyon story, that's a whole other story. I'll get to that because that's a whole other interesting mess.
Hmm.
And then the U of A, all right? So trust me.
These are pro-union people, right? These are pro, let's have
all
contracts.
Of you at the U of A, okay? I don't know what the threshold is, but I bet it's $6,000 or more on a contract that you need to get three bids through a real process. Rockin' Robin floated $14 million for consultants without a contract, without a procurement process. What are we doing, Rockin' Robin? Okay.
It's only money.
In an interview, he acknowledged the expense was risky. He's slated to give a progress report to his bosses. And Rockin' Robin says, I know it's true they're very expensive. I would say it's transforming the university and giving us a roadmap to where we're going to go the next 10 to 15 years. Blah, blah, blah. Now, here's the best one. Details of their work are elusive because they demand secrecy from its clients on the grounds that their methods and strategies are trade secrets.
It's Pima County all over again. Well, you don't need to know this stuff.
When the Star made a public records request, the U of A allowed the firm to black out entire pages of information the company considers proprietary. What is this, the Clinton server?
Impeach. Come on. No, can't. We redacted that.
I was like, I don't understand. They say, oh, public officials also disagreed whether the contract violated procurement laws aimed to curb government spending. Well, what public officials?
Why couldn't they
Carol
agree?
Ann, give me a little bit more love than that. So Elliot Chu, who's going to probably take over as the dean of college from our good friend Joaquin, said, oh, they brought a lot of experience and blah, blah, blah. Now we have faculty chair Jessica Summers. Do I think we paid too much? Yes, I think we actually paid. I absolutely think we paid too much for what we got. That's the U of A faculty chair, Jessica. So we got it all, right? We have no bid contracts because of McKinsey's trade secrets. You don't know what they did for their $14 million.
I love that. I'm going to use that next time anybody asks me anything I don't want to answer. It's trade secret.
Clientele includes Russian and Ukrainian oligarchs.
What?
Whistleblower.
What?
Saudi Arabian Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman and OxyContin maker Purdue Pharma.
Yeah. This is your University of Arizona. Yeah.
The firm is blamed for fueling the nation's opioid addiction crisis in a lawsuit by the state of Massachusetts. I can't make this up.
Nope.
As a former tuition payer to the University of Arizona.
Yeah. My girl went 4 years.
Bill number two. Let's get Billy on before we go to break. Bill, would you do this deal for, I don't know, $6
million? Oh, I'd probably do it for five.
Thank you. You
know. Plus expenses, yeah.
Yeah, and I'd give them a rebate of maybe 10% on top of that, just for fun.
Kickback.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. This thing is article so bad in so many ways. But if they would just assume for a minute that this document that they produced for this roadmap for U of A or UA Arizona, whoever, whatever they want to call it, let's say that it was they would use it. But I don't think they would. And my reason for that is how many Blue Ribbon Reports has Trio over the past, 15 years?
47.
They keep coming up with these, you know, and they do these beautiful, gorgeous presentations, mm-hmm. and then they just throw it in the drawer and pay somebody $500,000 for it, and then just don't do any of it. They don't use them. That's what I'm getting at. And like Ed said, you know, all these big brains at the university, these PhD guys and stuff, they can't come up with their own little plans.
I mean, these are smart people.
Yeah, no? And the thing about, yeah, it is. They're supposed to be, but this is $14 million of tax money. We're not just talking about, you know.
You are correct. Again, the taxpayer at the University of Arizona and the tuition payer,
sure,
second class citizen.
Right, and so
feed the machine.
It used to be when you did these kind of smelly kind of deals, you know.
Yeah.
You used to have to kind of hide them a little bit, you know, and you know you just kind of do them in the background, stuff like. They feel like they're so bulletproof. You got a guy that makes $1 million a year, only $1 million, and he can actually single-handedly approve a $14 million expenditure with a no-bid contract. And the Board of Rodents, who are they monitoring? Are they monitoring this guy?
They're having lunch.
I would say the U of A's attitude on this is to the taxpayer and the tuition payer is go blank yourself.
Pretty much. They're just, I mean, it's
that's so, what I would say.
It's so blatant that it's funny, I guess. It's so blatant because they don't even try to hide it. They just go out there and in your face, you know, we're going to spread this $14 million around and maybe somebody that works for us or somebody that, you know, could be, you never know, could be somebody benefiting somewhere along the line on it. But
I don't know about any of that. But I
don't either. I'm just saying, it's like the old Nixon thing, follow the money. I mean, really.
I got to get rocking. Thanks for the good call, as always. 8:21 in the morning. We come back. Tim Crawford from Desert Rose is here, and he is. We're going to talk about how important Veterans Day is to him and his family, and then we're going to start you off on your. I know this sounds horrible, not horrible, but you got to get ready for 2020.
Let's do it.
And you got to get you. This is the preparation. Now will save you thousands later, as we like to say. Wake up.
We're going to turn the calendar and look at the new year coming up with your taxes and stuff. Mark your calendar for December 10th, the Wake Up Tucson Christmas Party at Tankaverde Guest Ranch. Yes, I said Tankaverde Guest Ranch.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner. Let Adriana know you're coming. WUTEvents@gmail.com. Good morning, Tim Rose, Desert Rose Tax. I got was on that Tim Crawford.
Close.
Crawford. You don't have to show me the paper. I transposed. Sorry. Tim Crawford, Desert Rose Tax. Good morning, sir.
Good to be here, Chris.
First of all, thank you for your service. You're also a veteran yourself.
I am. I joined back in 1991 and served about a year and a half at Fort Riley, Kansas in infantry. And then I got the privilege of serving in Germany as a truck driver for a couple more years. And
okay.
Came back to Kansas City area and was in a transportation unit for the next several years in the reserves.
That's awesome. Cool. Thank you again.
Well, thank you. It was my privilege. Sir. And my daughter is also a veteran as well. She just got out of the Air Force, but she served 6 years right out of high school and actually spent almost a year in Afghanistan.
Really?
She did, yeah.
Very cool. What did she do in the Air Force?
She built bombs, of all things.
Wow.
That's where I got a lot of these white hairs was that year she was over there. That was tougher duty to be an Air Force dad than an Army soldier, I will tell you that.
So let's talk about your grandfather. You were telling me that your grandfather was a World War II vet.
Yes, I was lucky to get to see my grandfather on a regular basis growing up. He's from Ottawa, Kansas, or Pomona, Kansas. His name's Woodrow Crawford. I'm born in 1912. He was in the Kansas National Guard when Pearl Harbor was attacked. And he told me that at the time, everybody knew what was going to happen, that his unit, sure enough, was activated, and he found himself part of the 997th Artillery Battalion. Landed on, got to spend a little bit of time in England, but he landed on Omaha Beach in July 27th of 1944. They fought their way through France, through Belgium, and then into Germany. He was in Germany on May 8th, 1945, for VE Day, and he would ultimately rise to the rank of first sergeant.
Wow.
And I'll tell you what, that generation there, we just have no concept of what was asked of them, what they sacrificed. They really did earn the title of the greatest generation.
Now, you were telling me, because we were talking about Colonel Moe, you were listening to her interview on the way in, and talking about honor flights, and you got to accompany a vet on an honor flight.
I did. A man named Harold Hathaway, he was a PFC. I was part of a charity organization, and we raised about $17,000 that year for Honor Flight Kansas City. And I had the extra privilege of getting to meet a veteran named Harold Hathaway. He was, I believe, 91 or 92 at the time. It's just a few years ago. And got to accompany him. Everybody that goes on an honor flight trip, any World War II veteran or any veteran, they always have one sponsor, somebody that comes with them.
Sure.
So I got to spend the day with him, got to meet him. This guy was 92 years old. I show up at his house in Leavenworth, Kansas at probably 4:30 a.m.
Yeah.
Hoping, you know, I got there a little early in case I had to wake him up. He was up and he was excited and he was running around wanting coffee, you know, drinking coffee, and he couldn't wait to go. It was a thrill. It really was an honor to get to meet him. Bob Dole was there when apparently Bob Dole makes a regular basis. He'll meet the Kansas Honor Flight people.
Sure.
And he was there sitting in a chair, and it was a very classy guy. I was introducing Harold Hathaway to Bob Dole, and Harold comes up, pats him on the shoulder. He goes, "Hey, Bobby, good to see you." He said, "I've seen him three or four times." And, you know, Bob Dole didn't know him from Adam, but he's such a classy guy. He said, "Oh, sure, sure. Good to see you again, Harold." Act like they were best friends. And they served in war, and they were the same age, very close to the same age. It was just really amazing. Amazing.
Bob Dole is like Mountain Division badass in the military.
Most definitely. And I just want to have a shout out to Harold Hathaway. He just passed away. I just discovered online just not even a week and a half ago.
But okay.
He was a great American. He served in Germany during the Battle of the Bulge. He stayed for a couple of years, I believe, as a guard in the Czechoslovakian area. And it was just an honor to get to meet him, an honor to get to take part in Honor Flight.
All right. Rest in peace, Harold. We're going to continue on with this Veterans Day show. Tim and I are going to talk about a special thing that they're doing for veterans when we come back. And then also, the list is here. This is your punch list. These are things you need to get ready. Wake up. Hey now, you're on the Wake Up Tucson show, 8:34 in the morning, our 37th annual Veterans Day show. We scheduled one person that we knew was a veteran, which was Colonel Moe. Then it just happened to work out that Vic Hightower from Gospel Rescue Mission, veteran, Armored Cavalry in Germany. And now we have Tim Crawford from Desert Rose. Tax, also, you spent time in Germany, and he's a retired U.S. Army. And then your daughter just got out of the Air Force, so it's a Veterans Day palooza here today.
I got a lot of history in my family on military service.
I was just noticing, you guys are having a special offer for veterans for this month.
We are, and I kind of just put it together to get a chance to talk about it on the radio today. But yeah, we love our veterans. We're a veteran owned and operated company, and we love our. So our airmen at Davis-Mothom Air Base, if you're stationed there or if you're an active duty military person, we'd love to have you in. We'll give you a 10% discount in appreciation for your service. You can get free tax preparation at your JAG office, but if you own a rental property, if you own a small business, or you have anything that's a little bit unique, you really might consider getting some professional help besides JAG. They're really good at doing basic tax returns with military veteran issues, but if you have any type of business activity, we would love to talk to you.
They did a veterans taxes at the
they
JAG
do.
Office.
They did mine one year when I was in, but they really are restricted to basic tax returns.
Sure. We got a W-2, not a W-2. They're just doing the basic.
W-2, 1099, yeah. just some very basic stuff. But if you have any type of rental activity or any type of business, and you really do need some professional help with your taxes. And, I mean, we love working with veterans, so please give us consideration. We'd love to work with you.
So remember, DesertRoseTax.com if you want to find out more. Of course, what's the phone number to get the lovely Diane to...
You can call 520-747-4964. Talk to Diane. You'll get a voice message today because we were closed in honor of Veterans Day, but we will definitely get back to you.
Very cool. And their office is very accessible, too. They're on 22nd, just east of Craycroft on the south side.
Right.
You'll see the big, beautiful sign with a big, beautiful rose on it.
And some nice palm trees.
Now, let's do, we got to get ready for next year's taxes.
Yeah.
So first, you should start off by looking at 2018 taxes first.
I would. I think that's a very good resource for you to check. What you want to look at is ask yourself the question, did you owe taxes when you filed your tax return last year, about a year and a half, or 8 months ago or so? If you did, then you're probably, and things haven't changed much, you're probably going to owe taxes again this year.
Right.
Because there was a lot of tax law changes from 2017 to 2018.
Sure.
There aren't many from 2018 to 2019. So if you have the same circumstances, you're probably going to owe about the same. Might be a good idea to get out ahead of it and make those estimated payments now so you avoid penalties, so that by the time we file your taxes, you're either breaking even or getting a slight refund. That would eliminate any penalties you might have. You might look at your last year's tax return, see what kind of forms did you need and what kind of forms did you use. You had some W-2s from your job. You had a 1099-R, perhaps from an IRA distribution or something along those lines. You might have had a 1099 miscellaneous from different activities that you might have had. You might have had Social Security forms. Whatever you needed last year, you're going to need this year. But keep in mind what changed in 2019. Did you get a new job? Did you get a promotion? Did you get a big pay raise? Or do you have another child? Or did one of your kids move out? Did one of your kids turn 17 and you're no longer going to get that $2,000 child tax credit for that child?
Right.
You might take a look at some of those things and to anticipate what's going to change. And if you're not sure, please give us a call. Go to our website. We'd love to talk to you and get you lined up for that.
So let's talk about maybe the idea that hopefully you had a good 2018 and you had a big bump up or a good bump in your pay levels.
As a lot of people did.
That's true.
Because of a strong economy, in my opinion.
So let's talk about, you know, what do you have to be aware of as you move up into that, maybe that higher bracket?
Well, I would say a few things about the tax bracket. You can always do a Google search and look up the 2019 tax brackets, but what you want to understand about different tax brackets is if you dip into a higher bracket, say you go from the 12% bracket to the 22% bracket. You go over about $79,000 of taxable income. Don't feel like just because you went $1,000 over into the higher bracket that that's a tripwire or anything. It means that $1,000 is going to be taxed at that higher marginal rate and not all of your income. So
right.
Don't fret too much if you just barely dip into it. But you want to be cognitive of what is your marginal rate and what is a marginal rate? Your marginal rate is the tax rate that your last dollar that your highest income is taxed at. And that is very helpful to know because you can calculate deductions that you might want to take if you want to take charitable contributions or business deductions. If you know what your marginal rate is, you can calculate the tax benefit. If you're going to make an additional, say, let me just throw a number out. Say you make an extra $10,000 charitable contribution for 2019. Well, if you know you're in the 32% bracket, take $10,000 times 32%. That's your marginal rate. That's $3,200 tax benefit.
So let me ask you this question because it plays into a lot of the stuff we talked over the last year or so in taxes on the policy side. And a lot of our listeners, when we talked about the taxes, their tax returns, the first year under the tax cuts, right?
Yeah, which is last year.
Right. So so number one, they were thrilled, especially if you had a personal income that flowed out of a LLC or something,
right,
that they paid a lot less taxes than they did the year before.
That's right. So, you're referring to the flow-through deduction, or Section 199 capital A, Section 199A deduction. It basically said that if you derive your income from a flow-through entity like an LLC or an S-Corp or a Schedule C if you're a sole proprietor, you're going to pay tax on 80% of that income, not 100%.
Right.
So in other words, if your profit is $100,000, you get a $20,000 deduction. You don't have to buy anything. You don't have to spend any money. You just automatically get it because of the tax law change.
So many people benefit from that. But the other side that they maybe weren't thinking about, right, was really the state of Arizona.
Yes.
Right? Because the state of Arizona did not do conformity in relation to the tax cuts.
That's right.
So what happened was that they saw their state tax bill and said, what the hell? Right. And so we have a lot of good options in relation to making these state, deductions that are a dollar for dollar tax credit.
Right.
And I think they really, with the way the state's doing taxes right now.
Yeah.
I think they really need to be cognizant of that going into this next year.
Let me talk about it just a little bit. A couple things with state tax law. This is kind of comical, I think. A lot of the tax law changes were billed as tax simplifications, and that a lot of people will no longer itemize because their standard deduction doubled and so forth. We've talked about this before.
Sure.
Interesting thing is Arizona, just like you said, Chris, they did not conform to the federal new tax laws. So while you may no longer take itemized deductions for federal, you still will for the state of Arizona. So it ended up not simplifying anything in that
Correct.
Regard for Arizona taxpayers. But you mentioned the Arizona tax credit. It's an amazing program. What they have is a way that you can reduce your state taxes dollar for dollar by taking one of these credits. There's about six of them. I'll just read them through them real quick. There's qualified charitable organization. You can take a $400 credit or $800 if you're married. There's a qualifying foster care charitable organization, take $500 if you're single or $1,000 credit if you're married. Public schools, another couple hundred. Private schools, there's another $569 if you're single, $1,138 if you're married. There's a second private school deduction for an additional $566. I don't know where they come up with these numbers. They're really, really kind of not round numbers. Here's my favorite one. It's a military, and this is very appropriate for today. It's a military family relief fund. You can get a $200 if you're single, $400 if you're married credit. Now, that once they receive $1 million, that credit closes. But if you're interested,
you know, it's funny. I have not heard much about that last one.
Well, it gets filled up. It's so popular that it gets filled up. I don't even know for sure if it's still available for 2019.
Okay.
But that's certainly an option. I would suggest you go to azcredits.org. That's the website that I use, and it explains it very well.
We have so many great organizations that we've sponsored and supported over the years. That credit, you know, like Gap Ministries is one, Youth on Their Own, probably Ed, your IBE is also Institute for Better Education. There's all these amazing places. And I'm telling you, that's the number one stinger in this last tax year I've heard from so many listeners was, if I knew I was going to pay this much to the state because they didn't do conformity,
uh-huh.
I would have gave more to Gap Ministries or any of these other ones out there to go help people, because I'd rather have given it to them than the state legislature.
Well, let me tell you something, Chris. If you get your taxes done before April 15th, you still have an opportunity to go in there and make a donation for tax year 2019.
Right.
So as long as you don't extend, as long as you get your taxes in relatively early, we can calculate your taxes and we can say, well, it looks like you owe $700 to the state of Arizona.
Right.
Do you want to send it to Phoenix, to the Department of Revenue, or do you have a specific place you want to earmark that donation for? And we find a lot of people, they love having that control, that part of their tax dollars can go to a school their kids or their grandkids go to, or a charity.
That's why it felt so weird that the state didn't move their butt on conformity, because
yeah,
they've been so good on other parts of this tax thing in the state, you know what I mean, in relation to taxpayers and how to do better with the money. And I think that was confusing for a lot of people going, what?
Yeah, well, you can always call them up and complain, but they won't answer, so you'll be on the phone forever.
797-4964 to call up Diane and set them an appointment. They're closed today. You'll get the answering machine for Veterans Day, but they'll get back to you first thing tomorrow morning, or go to DesertRoseTax.com. Ed, spin us away, and we got one more segment to go. Tim Crawford, Desert Rose Tax. Thanks to our great friends at Central Arizona Block for sponsoring this hour of Wake Up Tucson. CapcoAZ.com. They do the masonry work. They create it, build it right here, and they sell it to you directly. Ed does all his custom brickwork in Pliskin Acres at CapcoAZ.com. Call Bobby and say, just like Trump, he's going to build that wall higher in Pliskin Acres around his yard. Wake Up Tucson, 10:30, The Voice. You know, I was thinking about our...
Yes.
Our World War II vets out there, and I want to go back a little in the deep tracks there for them. So, Johnny Mercer, it's called G.I. Jive. So, we're hanging out with Tim Crawford. He is, of course, with Desert Rose Tax, DesertRoseTax.com, and again, 797-4964. He is offering a 10% discount for all veterans for the month of November.
That's right.
So, and then give him a visit. They're over on Craycroft. They're on 22nd, just east of Craycroft. So as you're going east of Craycroft, you'll see the El Sur Mexican restaurant, the big yellow building, and then go like another block or two, and then you'll see Desert Rose.
Yeah, you'll see a Jiffy Lube. We're
That's right.
Next to the Jiffy Lube.
There's always a guy out there with his little sign.
That's right.
Waving it. We're trying to give you the punch list to get ready for the end of the calendar year. I think we have like 45 days left to the end of this year. So one of the things we always want to do, it'll save you money, not just in preparation fees, but also it'll save you money on the actual whatever happens on the prep. The more organized you are and hand stuff over to Tim and his crew, the better job that they can do for you. So right now, if with all those people have their bills and their receipts, and they're all sitting in Ziploc bags. You know, Ed puts his in a big garbage bag, and he just throws it like
or
Santa
a shoe
Claus.
Shoe box, right? That's my favorite.
Shoe boxes, right?
Big old box, yeah.
So as a guy who's a tax professional, and people are listening right now, how would you like, when they're doing their stuff, right,
yeah,
and they're organizing it, if you had the perfect scenario to make your life easier, which makes their life better,
yes,
what does that look like?
Well, first of all, just make sure you get all of your tax documents put together so we don't miss something.
Right.
If you're getting if you're on the healthcare exchange, you're going to get a form 1095-A that gets overlooked often, which will hold up your refund or the processing of your tax return. Probably the biggest one is for small business people that might have a regular job, but they've got a side gig, or they've got a rental property, or they've got they sell Scentsy or Amway or something on the side.
Right.
To make sure that you bring me all of the expenses that you incurred related to that business, including things you might not think of. If you're a small business person, you can deduct the cost of your personal cell phone, because it's not a personal cell phone anymore. It's for your business. Your home internet, probably people don't think about that, but you use your home internet for your small business. That should be included in your list of expenses.
Sure.
Just everything that you spend money on to promote your business or to run your business, you just need to have them, because if we don't get them all in there, that costs you money. That increases your taxable income, which increases your tax.
So all of these bills and stuff you have from your internet or your cell phone,
mm-hmm,
so you would like those added up for the cost for the year? Would be easier if they did it and then they handed you that with The backup behind it? How do you want that?
Well, what we don't really need a whole big box of receipts. What we need is a list of expenses categorized by different things like advertising or equipment or supplies or things of that nature.
Gotcha.
If you are able to consolidate that list and bring us just a list of expenses already prepared, that would be ideal. But if you don't know for sure what is deductible, feel free to list everything, and we'll go through it with a fine-tooth comb and make sure that everything that's deductible we get to take, because that just lowers your taxable income. Also, with small businesses, don't be afraid if your expenses exceed your income. Don't feel like, oh, I just need to bring enough receipts to cover my expenses. No, you can take a tax loss on a small business,
right?
And if you lose $7,000 or $8,000, that's not all that uncommon to have a small business that operates in a loss.
Right,
you'll get a tax benefit for that. But if you don't bring the receipts or you don't let us know about the expenses, you're going to miss that, and it's going to cost you extra money in taxes.
Well, again, this is something that it's against human nature, right? It's the idea that you should be kind of doing this a little by little.
You're right,
throughout
Chris.
The year.
There's a lot of psychology to it. It is. I mean, I compare it to my garage back home in Kansas City. It's so packed with junk that I just, it's so much work, I don't even want to start it.
Right.
And I can see where people get behind on their taxes, they get behind on their bookkeeping, and the further behind they are, the less they want to address it.
Right.
And they can go a couple years. I've seen a lot of people that come in. If you find yourself in that situation, please do not feel like I'm going to judge you or I'm going to be judgmental. It is human nature that you got behind. I know it causes a lot of stress, but we can help you sleep at night. We can get that fixed.
Right.
It can wear a person out.
Of course it can.
Just get some people to a frazzle. I've seen people, you'd be surprised, attorneys and people that run what appears to be a successful business, but their books are jacked up and they're a couple years behind and they're stressed about that. And it causes them not to focus on their business so much. And that's what we like to do. Get some tax professionals in there. We'll handle all that stuff that you can't stand and let you focus on whatever your business is.
Yeah, the higher the tax hassle, the lower you are in relation to your productivity in the parts of your life, whether personal, spiritual, or making money in your business.
I've seen people many, many times shut their business down and say, I don't want to mess with it anymore. Not because they're not good at being a roofer and they're not good at whatever contracting work they do. It's because the paperwork gets out of hand and they just get sick of it. Well, get it to us before it gets too far out of control, or if it's way out of control, let us help you. It's not nearly as difficult as you might think. We can get through it. We can get you current and let you sleep at night, and you can focus more on your business. You make more money because you're not stressed about taxes. You're focused on getting new clients.
I want to take this moment also. I'm hearing my voice of my friend Brian Watson from the IRS in my head talking about scams.
Uh-huh.
Right? Remember, the IRS does not call you.
If you get a phone call, I tell you what, I've got a gal, she's a client, she's probably in her 80s back in Kansas City, Kansas, and she called me once just in tears, so worried that she thought the IRS was coming to take her to jail because she owed $2,000. And she said, I'd never heard of the IRS wanting me to go get Target cards to pay them. I just tried to tell her. It's like, Judy, it's okay. Do not answer. Do not respond to them.
Oh, my gosh.
If anybody calls, the IRS will never, never, ever call you to tell you about a tax burden or a tax liability.
They send you official-looking stuff in the mail.
They'll send you mail, and they're not going to email you. They're not going to call you, and they're not going to take you to jail, and they never accept payments with Target gift cards. If you get a call like that, the best thing to do is not argue with them, just hang up and don't answer it again. It's just a scam.
The other part about this, the scam part too, is, you were telling me the last time you were here, the IRS is so far behind on stuff.
Oh, I've even read articles since I talked to you last that they had that 45-day partial shutdown at the beginning of the year, and they just got so backlogged. We've seen amended returns filed. Generally, they've got their statutory limit, they have up to 120 days to acknowledge that they got it. In years past, if you file an amended return, you'll get it back in a few weeks or a month or so.
Right.
We've had returns that they've gone the 4 months, and we have to call the IRS back, and they say, well, we'll send out a notice that we're gonna address it within 30 days. And then that 30-day period passes. And we're seeing amended returns that used to take just a few weeks take months and months, 6 months or more.
All right. If you have questions, you need help, 797- 4964 and then desertrosetax.com. Tim, thanks for your service, and thanks for a good discussion about taxes.
Great to be here, Chris. Thank you again.
All right, Tim Crawford, Desert Rose Tax. Thanks to everyone who made such a great show today. Vic Hightower, Gospel Rescue Mission, of course, Colonel Maureen Gagliardi. What a great interview. I love talking to her. Remember the Veterans Day Parade, Veterans Day. Did I say Calvary earlier? I got in trouble, didn't I? The Veterans Day Parade is today at 11 o'clock. So downtown. Go down there and go support the vets in this great event. Sean and Adriana are very involved with that, too.
Absolutely.
So good stuff. We love what they do. So, Ed, what do we got tomorrow?
We've got Deb Firms, Babe with Bullets, in studio, back with us. Can't wait to hear her stories.
Absolutely.
She's up. Steve Rivera, speaking of sports, Diane from the Humane Society. Hopefully she'll bring some puppies. And the Knights of Columbus car show. Coming up this
year. Who's your buddy in this?
My friend, Dave Ronquillo.
Okay.
Our kids went to school together at Sal Point. Been friends ever since. Great guy.
Very nice.
And he said, hey, would you do this? I said, yeah. Then I said, hey, well, then you have to come on and talk about it. So.
Well, we're gonna give you a primer of the Knights of Columbus when we get back. All the secret
you can tell me about that
secret ceremonies, running around in our Pope hats.
You guys have swords.
Oh, we got swords,
you
baby.
Got swords. You got hats with feathers on them. I like that.
Zach with Creative City is coming up next. Wake up.